Good evening, Earthlings. It's your human Kuiper Belt Explorer, and welcome to the Psychonautic Psychedelic Podcast. Tonight, it's a wee psychedelic story time for you, so make a brew, roll a smoke, relax, and enjoy the madness. Joining me tonight, not at the Shaman Shack, is Maggie Muggs, a friend of mine from Instagram.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
I'm good. It's nice actually having like a face-to-face conversation with someone over the mic rather than over Skype. Well, recently I've been going more for the whole, like, over Skype and using Discord and stuff like that, recording the conversation, so it's nice actually just having that proper flow.
Yeah.
But jumping right into it, psychedelics.
Yes.
What's your experience in general? Because I guess most people would only have a set understanding of psychedelics, and it's usually, obviously, it's what's portrayed in the media, so what would you say is right and what's wrong? A little bit more specific question for you.
I think obviously the way it's portrayed in the media is always kind of dramatized, and it's like it's dangerous and things like that. Mm-hmm. But my experience from psychedelics is, you know, majority is quite positive. I don't have anything kind of bad to say about any of the psychedelics I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never necessarily had what they would call a bad trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. I mean, I guess it really depends on the specific psychedelic. I mean, obviously, what I smoke every day, marijuana, is technically still a psychedelic.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you've got a high tolerance like I do because I smoke so much, you don't really feel the effects of it as much as someone who, you know, say only smoked it once every 6 months or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, there's a specificity to it that people don't usually recognize. And even then, with pot versus something like LSD, It's much easier to quote unquote build a tolerance with THC.
Mm-hmm.
Like with cannabis, you know, like I could sit down after taking a tolerance break for like a couple of months, so like my system could be completely purged of THC and other cannabinoids, and then within maybe a gram or two, that's me. Like top level tolerance is up. I'm hitting dabs like a mad lad,
mm-hmm.
slamming down edibles, etc. Just, you know, you can't really do that with LSD. In the sense, you know, you take one tab at about 200 UG on Monday, for instance, you ride out that 6 to 12 hours, and then you go to sleep, have a couple hours nap, and then you wake up on Tuesday, like, you're not going to be able to hit the same amount, and then it kind of gets to a certain point where it's just unlivable, you know? I think that's the kind of the difference that people don't realise, that with acid, there's that certain burn-off time almost.
Yeah. I mean, you can be a high-functioning toker, I guess, like, in a sense.
Oh, yeah, but you could not trip out your tits every single day and deal with that.
No, because, I mean, yeah, I get what you mean about the tolerance thing, because I have done acid, and I've done it on quite a few occasions now.
Mm.
You know, different doses, and the most I've ever taken is one tab at a time.
And the tabs that you take, they equate to how much?
130 UG, I think. Or is it 200 UG?
230 UG.
Right. So, yeah, they're pretty strong, the ones that I have had in the past, say, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably around the kind of time that I started really experimenting with LSD, but I mean, I had tried it in the past, but pretty sure that whatever one I was given was a dud, because I had absolutely no effects whatsoever from it.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even like just giggle cardboard for you at that point?
No, there was literally nothing, absolutely nothing.
Right.
At the time, I thought it could have been something to do with my medication that I was on that was blocking it out in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that's the case, because I'm still on that medication, and when I have a tab of the Da Vinci, I am gone. Like, I can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. It's an acid trip. You know. But I think
say, like, the education of psychedelic drugs, like, the proper education of drugs would be a much better route.
Yeah.
Rather than the whole fear-mongering thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we grew up the same sort of school era, the same sort of social era. Like, I remember a lot of fear-mongering.
Oh,
like, and it was very... It was weirdly specific because, and I remember saying this to you like, a good couple of months ago, maybe even last year or something like that, that through, from all the years that I've been smoking pot and doing psychedelics, etc., etc., I'm still waiting to feel bad.
Mm.
You know, I'm still waiting for certain things to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like retrospectively, like it's not shit that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, like I've never been offered free drugs.
Oh, God.
Like,
no.
the amount of people that told me, oh, someone's just going to come up and, like, just put something in your drink or, like, hide something in your cigarette if you roll your own cigarette and, like, all this sort of bullshit. And that just never happened.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think I would have had a lot of better nights if I had been offered drugs.
But like, there's something about getting offered a joint, like, just out of the blue is, oh, I didn't know that I needed that, but thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember quite clearly the police coming in to our school and bringing out a briefcase with all these different drugs.
Oh, like the little glass pots and shit.
Yeah, it comes with it. I think it was all in a glass case kind of thing. And you had your ecstasy tablets and you had your MDMA and you had your marijuana. You know, I mean, I guess they were teaching what drugs look like, but... That was probably all that I remember was what they were actually, what they were, what their names were, and what they looked like.
Yeah, it's a very, it's like, it seems like you're learning a lot, like, if you look at the curriculum, because I remember when I was in high school, I was offered by the area drugs enforcement officer, like drugs education officer, I was offered to go and speak to, like, the local primary school kids, like, pre-7 and stuff like that, so, like, what, like, 9-10 year olds, and I remember quite a lot of the curriculum that like kids were getting taught, and I, in all honesty, I would not be surprised if it was the same shit.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if it was the same sort of shit. And I remember one of the things that I still find to this day really interesting, that like obviously by that age, by like 11, 12, 13, whatever, you've already had a certain amount of sort of social influence, especially when it comes to drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. Like, you know, your parents will have taught you a certain amount, your schools will already have enforced a certain amount of quote-unquote bias for that sort of thing. And I remember they got given, for one afternoon, they got given a worksheet, and it was draw a drug dealer. And, like, the amount of the kids that just drew this dude in, like, a black trilby with a big jacket, like,
yeah.
You know, like, the fingerless gloves and the sunglasses.
Sounds like a really good Halloween costume, though.
Yeah, like, the over-the-top stereotype drug dealer, like, hey, kid, do you want some cannabis? You want 11 marijuana? You know, like, opening the jacket and shit. And, like, every fourth thing was slightly different, you know.
Yeah.
The jacket was shorter or grey instead of black. It was like it was such a machine level standard.
I'm assuming that the whole point of this exercise was to teach you all that a drug dealer can look like anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then.
And that was the whole point.
Yeah, that it was such
so it really
an over the
matter.
Top.
It
yeah,
really
it was such
matter.
A stupid
it's
over
a
the top.
It's a pointless lesson.
Yeah.
When you think about
it's
it.
It's a pointless way of teaching the lesson.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
They're still engraving that stereotype.
Yeah.
By getting the kids to draw it. They're
yeah.
still, in,
like,
you know.
It's obvious as well to. If you look at it from like in a bigger picture sense, if they're drawing it then at 11, 12, 13. Then they're also going to, like, where did that image come from? Like,
yeah.
psychologically, that
yeah.
image would have come from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So at what point, like, because I remember at one point, you know, before I met Kyle Fee the Scheme and Brian Fee Down the Road and Steve Fee Up, to, you know, all that sort of, like, the regular actual plugs, your actual dealers,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Like, I remember having that same sort of image, you know, that same sort of picture of what a drug dealer would be.
Yeah,
so like,
and we can't help that. That's human nature. Like society doesn't
yeah.
grave things like that into
but
us.
But where does that come from?
I think a lot of it comes from stories and television. Television's probably one of the biggest influences.
especially if you, look at Disney.
Yeah,
like
Disney
drawings, like the
witch and stuff.
Yeah,
she's
the dark characters
just
were drawn,
over and
The bad characters were drawn in a certain way,
yeah.
Like certain exaggerated proportions and stuff like that.
So many influences, and I would say TV, movies, things like that. Even games that kids are playing. You know, I don't really know a lot about gaming, as you know.
I mean, you're sounding more and more closer to 40, 50.
I like the PlayStation. Do you like the PlayStation?
I like the Wii. But no, I get what you mean. It's almost a generational thing.
Yeah.
It's each group, each age group almost has a set influence of what certain things are in certain areas of society. And I think drugs is just one of those things that is so heavily influenced in a negative way.
Do you think that drugs, as in psychedelics specifically, because obviously that's your topic, that we keep straying away from, but...
Oh, we created that.
Yeah. But do you think psychedelics have influenced, and you can be as specific or as vague as you want with it, but do you think it has influenced movies and television and stuff like that in any kind of area?
Oh yeah, to a degree, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm speaking to someone that hasn't tripped before, the best, when it comes to movies and media, there's a lot of stereotyping.
Mm.
There's a lot of stereotyping to the general standard. Dude, where's my car?
Yeah.
It's the classic stereotype of two stoners and Cheech and Chong and shit. It's the over the top stoner vibe, you know, everything's exaggerated in Hollywood. That's kind of the point, and I get that. But at the same time, they exaggerate things. If they exaggerated things to the point that it actually also made sense, LSD, for instance, is already a very exaggerating drug. It itself is exaggeration.
Mm.
If you feel happy while you're on LSD, holy shit, you are happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel upset or sad or depressed or whatever when you're on LSD, then holy shit, you are depressed. You know, it is the extreme.
It's an enhancer, a mood enhancer.
Yeah, when it comes to the media portrayal, I think they get those kind of things, those kind of details really wrong.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can ever think of that they actually got really right is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That whole concept, don't get me wrong, it's blown the fuck up. There is a lot of exaggeration in that, but at the same time, it's the right kind of exaggeration. When Johnny Depp's at the front desk and he's trying to check in and he's having this whole introspective conversation with himself about his surroundings, about him, his behaviour, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just shouts at the
mm-hmm.
receptionist, he has no volume control, he has no perceptive control,
yeah.
There's all that sort of stuff. That was something I really resonated with, because
yeah.
The amount of people that, I've tripped with people who are sober, I've tripped with people who are also on acid, and the whole, that communication level, it just completely dissipates, and
yeah.
I think that movie's a really, really good form of showing that, especially the madness, the way that it just spirals into them destroying every single space that they occupy, you know?
It's something I'll need to try and give another watch. I have, however, seen it live.
You saw it live?
At the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, no way.
It was absolutely phenomenal. It was absolutely fantastic. But I have seen clips of it, and the one scene I remember from that film was where he was at the bar and the reptilians were having a blood orgy.
Oh, yeah, the hypergalactic orgy.
Yeah, that was something that stuck out to me. It's very, very much a bad trip of something that actually evoked a little bit of fear in me.
Yeah.
It was that scene, because I seen that as, you know, inevitable in taking any kind of psychedelic drug.
Well, I agree with you. I get what you mean. I wouldn't say that it's so much inevitable, more plausible. You know, there's always that possibility,
and while I know, I haven't had a bad trip, yes, I do have a pretty good experience when it comes to psychedelics, however, I
that's where your like your trip setup things come from, like having a trip guide, having like etc. having those sorts of things set up so that you have that safety net, like in that inevitable, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's something. One of the things that really should be like a main staple of drugs education, you know. Don't do them, but if you're gonna, like, don't be stupid. I think that's something that's really missed in society. What's your favorite psychedelic? Because I know that you've taken more or less all the same psychedelics that I've taken. Like, what's
my favorite so far? Has to be DMT.
You like the DMT?
It's funnily enough, it's not something I want to do a lot. It's not something I want to find. I don't find myself wanting to do it all the time.
I think that's kind of the point of psychedelics, though.
Yeah, I mean, it should be that way. You should feel that need.
You
shouldn't
do them
feel
when
the
you
need.
Them.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel the need to do them all the time.
Yeah.
I certainly don't feel the need to do acid all the time or mushrooms or DMT. However, I do like to regularly smoke weed. That's probably the only thing that really, I wouldn't say have a hold of me necessarily, but, you know, is kind of like a vice, you know, like.
It's something that you enjoy.
It's something
it's
I
like,
do. It's something I.
It's like having a cigarette.
Enjoy doing. It's, yeah, I mean, I would rather have a joint than a fag, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's just the way.
And for our American listeners, because I know I've been watching my stats, some of you guys are down there in Texas. A fag is a cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely no offense when I say fag. Fag is what we call a cigarette, so yes.
I've been caught in that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
Stepping out for a fag, you what?
No, absolutely not.
But I think DMT is really interesting. More so than LSD. Like, LSD has its kind of its uses. It's really good for your sort of your self healing, your emotional healing, your perceptive. Like, it's good in the sense that you need to not be paying attention. Like, you need to pay attention with DMT. It's kind of good to not pay too much attention when you're on LSD, because like, if you're paying attention, you don't kind of get yourself there. It's hard to navigate. If you're not paying attention, you're just making jokes. Eventually you made one joke too many and that veil is fucking lifted. Like, you don't have that veil, that mask there that you normally have, and it's nothing but pain and realization. And that's really the only way that I've noticed that you can kind of work with LSD. DMT is something that you just really need to, bloody alarms on my phone. DMT is one of those things that you really just need to be there, like, and actually pay attention.
I mean, I kind of know what you're saying. I think you're more of a productive tripper than I am, because when I trip or get high or whatever, I solely do it out of for enjoyment.
Well, I mean,
entertainment value.
You paint and stuff like that. You do a lot of artwork with your drug use.
Yeah, I mean, some drugs do kind of bring that creative side out in me. It's not so much the creative side. I'm always creative, however, I'm not always motivated. And there are certain things that when I take them will motivate me, and ecstasy is one of those drugs. I know that you don't really.
Well, I was hoping that you were going to mention that,
mm-hmm.
because I do find it interesting. Obviously, most of the time, like most people in general wouldn't recommend LSD, DMT, etc. as a party drug. You know, LSD maybe for raves, but that's
mm-hmm.
like. A certain psychology, that's a certain type of person that can deal with that. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I couldn't deal with that sort of shit.
I don't think I could
but
deal
then,
with that. No.
And when most people would think of ecstasy, they would think of going to a rave, going to parties, going to clubs, that sort of thing. Like the Miami front, taking ecstasy in a club. Like that's what most people would think. Whereas you just sit cross-legged on the floor painting.
It's funny because. I kind of did things in reverse. When I was younger, like in my early 20s, I would be out in the dance clubs and I'd be out like clubbing and drinking all night, going to casinos until 6 in the morning, and I never touched a pill. You know, I did a wee bit of cocaine, but that was about it. And when I stop drinking. I just don't really bother drinking anymore. The first time I tried ecstasy, I must have been about 25 or 26. It was pretty decent. I enjoyed it. And the next time I did it, it just really felt like it really inspired me to paint. And I remember painting on a canvas and just being absolutely blown away by what I'd done on this ecstasy. It really brought something out in me.
Would you say it was almost like a self-appreciation, like an appreciation for what you'd created, what you'd spent time on?
Yeah, and it wasn't in a kind of in a vain way or anything. It was more like
humble.
Yeah, like a humble. Yeah, exactly. And not only that, as a person who does like to meditate, I've found that meditating while on ecstasy is actually really quite a lovely experience. You've not only got the calmness and the peacefulness that you get when you meditate, you've got that euphoric feeling kind of behind you from the ecstasy, so it's quite a nice combination as well. And I actually do feel a lot more connected.
So you can use it in a creative and a spiritual sense.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's what people think. It's not.
That's interesting.
Not necessarily something you have to do with loads of people and lots of lights and music, loud music and all that. To me, that is just like a nightmare. I'm like, I know I'm only 30, but like you would think I was about 50 the way I talk.
Yeah, like when you hit 60, 70 and you go to the home, like you'll fit right in.
Yeah, like I'm totally cushy just sitting playing drafts and drinking a cup of tea.
You're ready for it.
I totally don't mind just sitting playing bingo on a Saturday night, man. I'm totally up for that. As long as I still get a wee smoke, like I'm game.
Sneaky in crumbs.
Aye. Get a wee fucking edibles in.
It's shortbread. You just like scratching the tin.
It's bright green because of the green butter. Green shortbread. Oh, lovely.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But yeah, ecstasy is not what people think. I wouldn't say I'm an advocate for it because it comes with its dangers, you know.
So if I was to ask you about ecstasy, like if I was going to take it, obviously I've never experienced ecstasy. It's not something that's ever sort of crossed my mind, as you know yourself. If I was going to ask you about like the advice that you would give me, you know, like obviously when you sat down and like you were taking that proper like your first DMT hit, I suggested to you to like go through a breathing exercise and sort of really oxygenate your blood and open your lungs up and ground yourself, get some meditation shit on the go. Like what sort of things would you suggest to me?
For ecstasy, there's not actually a lot of effort involved in taking it. You know, you don't really have to massively prepare yourself in any way.
What about from a health perspective?
From a health perspective, I would say, you know, just be careful where you're getting it from, because there are bad batches, there can be bad batches of ecstasy that have been in the past. You still hear about it, but I think probably the best advice I would give is don't give yourself a hero dose if you've only just for the first time trying it.
Yeah, like don't be an idiot.
Don't be silly with it. Have half a tab. Have half a tablet. Share one with your mate and see how you feel after half. And you'll get an idea of how it feels, and then you can maybe move on to having a full one. But the most I ever do is one at a time. You know, I don't really go any further than that because it is a strong drug.
So what sort of psychedelic things that like do you know about that you're interested in trying?
The only thing that really comes to mind is ayahuasca. I've always liked the idea of actually going to the Amazon. I know it sounds mad, but I would love to go to an actual, you know, tribe within the Amazon and have ayahuasca the traditional way.
Well, it doesn't actually sound too mad. Like a lot of people have been doing that, especially in like recent years. It's like an ayahuasca pilgrimage.
I've seen it online. I've done a wee bit of research on it when I was interested.
There's a really good YouTube video by a guy first name?
Michael.
Well, you know that the YouTube channel Vsauce.
Yeah.
I want to say Stevens, but I feel like that's wrong. But the bearded dude, Michael, the main
guy. The bald guy.
Yeah, with the glasses. He. He started doing another thing called Minefield.
Right.
And that's when like they really dive into like the psychology of different things. Like they've got so many different episodes, but he did one where it was about psychedelics, and he went and did the psychedelic trip. And obviously, a man of science going and doing what's essentially an ancient spiritual ritual was a very interesting watch.
I'd love to watch that.
It was about 30 or 40 minutes, if I remember right. I'll send you the link, and I'll probably link the video down below, because it's a very interesting watch, because obviously he spent his whole life learning, like, and knowing how to describe things, how to explain things, how to understand things. So when you put psychedelia in that mind, wow, like, it was such a good watch. I can't big it up enough. Such a good watch. So a lot of people are going through this, that psychedelic pilgrimage almost. Like, people are going down to Peru, going down to Brazil. Some people are going over to like the lights of Amsterdam, and obviously there's the churches of ayahuasca, and like there's the ayahuasca temples all over the United States. Like, I know that there's at least one in New York.
Right.
I know that there's at least one sacred temple in New York. Pretty sure there's one sacred temple in the south of California, somewhere like that. And obviously, Oregon's recently started looking into like a lot more than most other states and most other countries. They've started really looking into psilocybin, helping with people with issues from depression to anxiety to addiction and stuff. Like, psilocybin, obviously here in the UK, here in Scotland, we have a strain of psilocybin containing mushrooms, the Liberty Cap. I'm not sure if like where else in the States or anything like that, but the Liberty Cap is one of the most common ones here, and that sort of thing has been used to treat things as addictions as simple or as low level as like nicotine, and addictions as high level as like heroin and opium dependencies and stuff. I think it's great to see that those sorts of things are finally getting looked into, and rather than just getting viewed as like some sort of drug, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about the general uses with psychedelia?
When
it comes to addiction. And obviously depression.
Well, I mean, yeah, psychedelics come with a lot of advantages for health and in many ways. For example, magic mushrooms have been, you know, scientifically proven to help reduce depression. I actually have experienced some benefits from psychedelics with my depression, particularly, especially DMT. That was a big one, and ecstasy, funnily enough, as well.
Yeah,
boosts my mood for quite a few days.
So would you say it was more of a would you agree that Oregon and other places, anywhere else is ever going to look at them, it's not going to go down the route of marijuana? It's not going to go down the route of like recreational in that sense? Or do you think it would go down the route of recreational rather than just staying solely medicinal?
I think it probably could go down that road. I mean, when you really think about it, we've been doing psychedelics since the beginning of mankind.
Yeah.
If you look at the Bible, it's full of like so many things basically talking about plants and psychedelic plants being used for spiritual reasons and health reasons and recreational reasons. You know, it's everywhere. We've always been doing it.
quantum ape theory in a nutshell is basically like it's like Darwinism on DMT, like for lack of a better explanation. It's like there was a bunch of chimpanzees, like great apes, roaming around, and then a couple of them started eating magic mushrooms, and then there was like a connection in the brain built because of those mushrooms, because of those chemical compounds, and that's what sort of kickstarted the evolution.
Oh, right, of course, right. So the mushrooms basically kickstarted the human race.
Yeah, like some chimpanzee ate a flying Eric somewhere in history, and now we have humans. Like, in a nutshell, that's kind of the Stone Ape theory.
Ah, right, yeah. I could totally get with that. I could totally get with that theory. I mean, to me, all theories are theory. Everything's a theory. Even facts are theory. So I can get on board with that.
I think that makes sense. It is
logical.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's like it's almost like an add-on. Like it's not a standalone theory. You know, it's like everything else before that 10-second moment in history when a monkey tried eating a mushroom and didn't die, just got trippy as fuck, had an introspective, outrospective, inward-outward experience, and then went, holy fucking shit. And then that was a connection made, and then obviously their offspring went down and down and down, and they had those connections, you know. Like, I think it's just like an add-on theory to existing theories.
Well, I mean, I guess it's, in a sense, it's still happening, because
motherfuckers are still eating mushrooms.
We're still fucking eating mushrooms. we're still connecting dots, and we're still learning more and more about, you know, human psychology through psychedelics.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially just within recent years, recent months, things opening up and to research and stuff like that. You know, research is key, and
oh, yeah.
I think a big part of research. I don't know how exactly they plan on researching it, knowing world government bodies, they'll probably want to have their own labs with their own mushrooms and shit, you know, like they want to have their own people doing all that crap, when in reality I think just getting in the people who would be willing, so obviously it's quite a shady topic at this point, people would be paranoid about that sort of thing, but just getting people in who've been doing these things, you know, like the motherfuckers that have been sofa surfing like thousands of years within 12 hours on acid, and people that have been dropping mushrooms and hitting DMT pipes and stuff, like the just normal folk, because in reality the amount of people that do those things, like the amount of people, like society functions on drugs, and I think if some people that are against drugs realize just how true that statement is, it would really change a lot of their minds, because like people don't realize that the nurse that is treating you or your family member or whatever, like the nurse that treated you in the hospital and was very kind and very pleasant is only very kind and very pleasant because she's on speed to get through work, well, part-time work, part-time ward work, and then part-time study work. You know, she's got three things minimum plus social life, etc., etc. So that nurse is out there been on speed. That's why they were happy. That's why they were able to deal with you and your shit. You know, people don't realise that this society really does run on drugs.
Yeah.
See, the amount of surgeons that I've met that the second they get a weekend off, that's them straight on the DMT pipe.
Do you think it's time that we congratulate drugs on the war on drugs?
Yeah.
For winning the war on drugs.
There's been enough memes. Yeah, definitely. That, it was such a stupid war, man. It was based on so much bullshit.
I mean,
like profits, racism, and greed.
As I said, I mean, you go around anywhere in the world and everyone's doing some kind of drug. You know, it's whether it's pharmaceuticals or it's psychedelics.
Oh yeah, we're all addicted to something.
Regardless. I mean, my daily intake is I'm always topped up on the marijuana, and I've also got pharmaceuticals in me that I'm prescribed from the doctor, so.
But then at the same time, some random average Joe, some random person in like our society, just down the street or whatever, could only drink coffee every morning before they go to work, have a cigarette, and then go to work, come home, and then binge watch Netflix or TV, and they think, I'm fine because I'm not smoking the marijuanas.
Hmm.
When in reality, you're addicted to having that one coffee and that one cigarette every morning because because you also have a cigarette on your lunch break at work, and then you binge watch like 4 hours of TV before you go to bed, and you need to do those things, otherwise your day just doesn't feel right.
Mm.
Tell me again who's addicted, because I can go for a couple of weeks without a smoke.
Mm.
You know, I've noticed that there's a strong difference in that. There's so many people whose entire fucking lives would just break and crumble underneath them and just envelop them if they didn't have their morning coffee. But I know countless stoners that if they didn't have a smoke in the morning, they'd just be like, eh. You know, like, they just get on with it. The worst that I can think of is someone that medicates for pain.
Mm.
You know, someone that medicates for pain who is obviously, because the UK's not legalised it, someone who medicates for pain who can't get it themselves, it's not prescribed to them. If they don't have it, you can kind of forgive them being a little bit grouchy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Certain circumstances, but I know more people that could deal without a smoke than I know people who could deal without a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're the addicted ones.
It's not necessarily something that I feel like I need to have. Like, I know I'm addicted to tobacco. If I don't have a cigarette, I will feel that withdrawal.
Mm.
However, if I don't have a joint or any kind of weed or any kind of psychedelics, I don't feel like I'm having withdrawal or anything.
It doesn't put you up or down.
Yeah. It's more just a wanting to do it.
Yeah, like it's almost like I've got a free weekend.
Yeah.
Fridge is stocked. Good movies on or whatever. Like,
mm.
I'm gonna take a wee tab and have a night to myself.
Mm.
It's like a bubble bath.
Yeah.
Equivalent of psychedelics.
I mean, it just makes reality a little bit fun for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like a checkout. It can be like a checkout. I mean,
yeah.
I can't personally use psychedelics like that. It would be nice if I could use psychedelics and just sit there and watch the pretty colours. I'd love to do that, but like, I dive into myself and I get right in about that, like the psychological shit, and I start dealing with shit, so I can't really relax. But I think that's where it comes down to, like, safe experimentation. Like, a safe understanding is a strong understanding. You know, if you know what certain things, if you test at small limits and you know what certain things do to you, what certain compounds cause certain reactions within you, then you can deal with them a lot safer, a lot smarter. You know, like, you know yourself, I used to drop acid like nobody's business. Like, it'd just be the middle of the week and I'd be like, hey, fuck it, I'm doing nothing for the next 12 hours, and then that'd be me away for it, you know.
Mm.
But then I had that ego disillusion, I had that moment of maybe I should slow down, you know, and I'm not nearly as sort of freelance about it. And I think every psychonaut has that turn.
You've had a bit of a slap.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, DMT can do it as well, but it's like the psychedelia has went, right, stop it.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
Young soul, you're being daft now. It's like being put to bed.
Yeah.
It's like you got too rough, too rowdy, and too loud. Your mammy's smacked you and stuck you in your room.
Yeah.
And you're doing that whole, like, lip shivering thing,
yeah,
watching your pals play out the window. I think we all need that though.
Mm-hmm.
I think, especially with psychedelia, like, if you're not careful with it, then that's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to treat it with respect.
Mm.
I mean, you need to. It's not just treating the drug with respect. You need to treat yourself with respect. You need to understand that you can only handle so much at one time. So that's why I'm always quite careful when if I'm dosing myself. The last time I did acid, I only did a third
mm-hmm.
of a tab. Felt pretty good all night, you know. It was just a nice little,
like, a mellow flow.
Yeah, with just a kind of glow.
Mm.
Things just looked nice and bright, and I felt nice and good and calm. So, you know.
I remember that night. I had to go and lie down.
Yeah.
I had to go for a nap.
Yeah, you did. You had to go for a nap.
Did I ever tell you about the guy that I met that had tripped for 7 years?
No.
I was in Glasgow bus station, and I just rolled myself a little smoke. I was going to sneak off. And you know how it is, sneak off, find a bush, smoke quick, and get on your bus. And I looked at this dude who was just sat alone on a bench. He had dreadlocks. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? We're the same in that instance. So I went and spoke to him. I'm like, do I have you right in thinking that you're going to have a lighter on you? And I flashed him the joint. I was like, I'm happy to share. And he's like, no, man, I don't take anything like that anymore. I'm like, alright, you said anymore. Can I ask what happened? And he was like, well, no, I tripped for 7 years. Like, he legit tripped for 7 years, but that's not 7 years trip time. That's 7 years real time. For seven whole ass Earth years, he was just out of his fucking mind. Just off his tits on LSD. And he just couldn't get out of that. It was like the most severe level of trip loop.
Yeah.
You know, and that level of shit freaks me out. Like, the idea is sort of just taking a bit of acid or something.
Yeah.
And then you're literally locked there for 7 years, you know.
I mean, there is that danger. There are dangers with it.
Yeah, there's always that. There's always that danger. There's always that risk. And I think that's just something that you need, if you're doing these things, that's something that you need to acknowledge. Like, you need to sort of consider that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can deal with the idea of like, time dissolution, you know? I'm riddled with ADHD anyway, you know, like, time is just nothing to me. Like, I really struggle at dealing with time. So when I'm on a psychedelic and I have zero concept of time, it's like totally gone. Time doesn't exist to me. It's not a faculty. Like, I'm totally chill with that. I can deal with that. It was like what I was saying to you earlier about, like, the multi-perception thing. Like, I'll be rolling a joint when I'm hitting that sort of kind of that moment, I'll be rolling the joint, and it's like my eyes or the live feed or a live feed video to a screen, but then the person, whoever it is that's watching my eyes live feed, they also have a live feed, and I'm watching that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like, my consciousness watching someone else watching what I'm doing through my eyes.
Do you think that psychedelics are a kind of tool spiritually?
I mean, they can be, yeah. They can be, definitely. I mean,
obviously what you just said there, obviously you could be tapping into something just by doing that drug.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There's certain points of your brain that fire that a lot of people use the word religious, but they don't mean like the traditional gods of known scripture, you know. Like, it's like spiritual experience would probably be a better way of wording it. Like, a lot of people have reported that sort of thing on things like LSD and DMT, and of course mushrooms. Like, it's that completeness, it's that connective oneness to, like, people talk about the Godhead, the higher consciousness, the one consciousness, etc. Like, that, those sorts of introspective things, like, when you experience something on LSD, it is more real than real.
Mm.
Like, it is untangible but tangible.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't make sense, but it there's no other way than it makes sense.
Mm.
You know, there's no other way of explaining it than just saying, this makes sense. I understand this, because you can ignore what you understand. It's like if two people are in a room and they both speak English and one of them decides to ignore the other one, but the second one won't shut up, like, that first person's still going to hear them and still going to understand them regardless of what they want to think. You know, they speak the same language and they're speaking at a high enough volume that they can hear them. They have no choice. It's kind of like the same sort of thing. So when people go through those sorts of experiences, those sorts of moments, and you're faced with that reality that you just can't not accept, then yeah, definitely, I think it can be used in a religious way. I mean, I use psychedelics more for, like, sort of ritual purposes. Like, if I'm wanting to really sit down and meditate and focus, I'll take a low dose of, like, a DMT blend. I'll take a low dose of Changa. So I'll just take a small hit from my pipe, and it's not enough to get those intense, rip you out of your body sort of things that people normally talk about with DMT. Just that small, like a lungful, like one hit through your pipe, one hit is just enough to get you into that meditative space. You know, I believe that using psychedelics is exact as possible, depending on what you're wanting them for. Like, if you're wanting to get fucked up, then yeah, take a lot. It'll get you fucked up. You'll get what you want, and you might not get it exactly the way that you want, but you will get fucked up. But if you're wanting something a lot more direct, if you're wanting something much more specific, then the lower dose is more than enough. You know, it's not like weed. Like, if you've been smoking for a little while, like a year on and off or whatever, then you're still going to need maybe a gram to get you high or whatever. You know, smoking it from a bong or a joint or however you do it, you're still going to need a certain amount. But with LSD, it's like the first time every time. With psychedelics, sorry, it's the first time every time. You know, so doing just that small amount, that it's not enough to cause you to take off or break through or anything, but it's not, it's also not quite enough to make you like visually hallucinate. It's just you're aiming for that psychological effect. You know, this, the lower doses really hit in psychologically, and when you're doing your more religious or spiritual practices, your more like meditation and stuff like that, you really want to be aiming in those sorts of areas, because that's just going to bring you to that hum.
Yeah.
You know, that quiet that quiet meditative buzz that you're looking for. It's the low doses that do that. So yeah, I definitely think they can be used for that.
I mean, I have had some kind of experiences like that with psychedelics. The one that I can think of is having a shower when I was peeking on acid, and it was,
yeah, because you didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't expect it. I felt okay going into the shower, and you know, was just kind of standing there, and the water was just flowing off me, and I remember just thinking, this is like the gods are like raining on me or something. Like,
yeah.
It just hit me when I was looking up at the shower, and you know, it just all of a sudden was in me, and I couldn't I can't really explain or put into words how I felt, but it was pretty amazing.
What happened when you snapped back to reality?
Well, it took quite a while for me to snap back, and I still felt good.
Mm.
I still felt good, but I guess I think it was a nice surprise, basically. It was it was a nice surprise. I wasn't expecting to feel that good and on such a low dose as well. So that was LSD. So yeah, that was pretty good.
That sounds quite fun, actually. I've not experienced psychedelics in a shower. Although, like, it is kind of just psychonaut rule number 365,000 that you don't go into the bathroom unless you're prepared to enter an alternate dimension.
No.
Like that. I remember there's been a good couple of times I've just been lost in the bathroom. Like, just totally gone. I was peeking on acid this one time, and it was like a medium dose for myself. And I was going through that moment of, I love everything and everything is wonderful and I want to observe it all, I want to experience it all, I want to be within it all. So I was just, obviously I'm not going to fuck outside, so I'm just walking around my house, like, appreciating the art, appreciating the photographs, appreciating, like, my stuff, appreciating the dog, appreciating the cat, appreciating the cockroaches, like, appreciating everything and everyone in the house. And then I went to the bathroom, and like, I've got a rule on LSD, no matter what I'm up, not to get too graphic, but no matter what I'm up to in the bathroom, I sit down. I don't need to make life hard for myself. I've already taken psychedelics, like, shit's difficult enough.
Yeah.
And I remember,
like, I don't understand, like, I know this is going off topic, but I don't understand why guys don't just sit down all the time.
I mean, it's like a 95-5 sort of thing with me.
Yeah.
Right, the majority of the time it's easier. But
yeah, just sit down, like, who cares?
So I remember I'm sitting there, just off my fucking nut, and the cat had snuck in, like, she'd come in behind me, and she was just sitting, like, being the toilet monitor, sat next to the toilet, and I'm looking at the back of my door, the back of the bathroom door, and it's just all these, it's like black smudges. Obviously, I've got a brown fucking door,
mm-hmm.
So it's all these black smudges with rings of green and yellow, and then it goes black again. It's the most psychedelic colors that I'd ever seen on a trip. It was one of those over the top cliche, like, psychedelic moments where you're sitting in the bathroom giggling, like, audibly giggling out loud, at these ridiculous fucking visuals that you're getting. It just made me insanely happy to witness. I'm like, oh my god, this is just the greatest. And
I mean, that's what I mean about
it started just swirling.
You're right.
It started swirling into Ganesh.
That's what I mean about how it just makes reality that little bit more fun. You know, and I don't really think that it is all just psychological. I do think that it is a gateway into something, seeing other things and seeing things that aren't usually visible to us, because, you know, we only see about 98% of what's actually going on around us visually, so.
It sounds like you're going down the road of talking about the DMT realms and stuff like that. Have I told you about that?
Yeah.
Like they're mapping. They're starting to map the DMT realms.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
I find that interesting. Cause like a lot. Have you ever like listened to any other like DMT trip reports on YouTube or something?
I think so. In the past, yeah, some of them. I've listened to a few people talking about different things that they've done. DMT was more of a kind of...
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to other people. I mean, my first experience of DMT was really good. And I tripped for quite a long time. So, it kind of felt like I was dying. Like in a really good way, like a really peacefully, like a peaceful day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like I kind of came to, but I didn't realise I'd been gone, and I wasn't sure how long I'd been gone for, and just a bit of a kind of amnesia state.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I was looking around the room, not really sure what a room was,
yeah,
and what I was doing there,
mm-hmm.
How I ended up there,
mm-hmm.
how I ended up in that room. Couldn't remember anything. It was very interesting. It wasn't scary. It was interesting because it was almost like it just wiped me clear.
I mean, that sounds, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that sounds very similar to like what people would normally report as an ego disillusion.
Yeah, and I mean, I've experienced that kind of thing sober as
mm.
well, through meditation, through
mm.
just practice.
Mm.
Because obviously it's, I would say as a spiritual person, I would consider myself quite a spiritual person. My goal in life is to be present, and I believe that doing things like psychedelics, they are like tools. For me anyway, they are like tools, even though I just enjoy them.
I think they really should
still
be viewed that way, yeah.
Yeah, there's something that happens within me when I do them, certain. I think, I know you, I said that, you know, you're a lot more practical when it comes to doing psychedelics, that you'll get the most out of it and do work and stuff like that, but, I mean, I do inner work as well, when I do psychedelics. It's not all just, like, sitting and enjoying it and listening to music and that. You know, while I'm doing my art or while I'm sketching or whatever, I'll still be kind of, you know, in that introspective kind of state of mind where you're reflecting on things and
well, that's exactly it. That's exactly what I'm doing. It's we're just doing different forms.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the most interesting things about things like LSD. Like, it puts you there, like, regardless, like, you don't even know. Some people don't even notice. Like, I've tripped that for a couple of people, and I've been stone cold sober. Like, I only smoked a joint, and they're just gone. Like, they're just talking some whole ass bullshit. They're like, there's just nothing left. It's fragmenting, fragmenting, fragmenting. And then they come back, and then there's just this pure outburst of creativity.
Yeah.
But then while they're being creative, they'll still sit and assure you that they're not a creative person. You
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
That, like, people don't realise that LSD just puts you there.
Everyone's creative, and that annoys me when people say that.
Yeah,
I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't do things like that.
Those are things that humans do naturally.
Yeah, it's I think it's a great way to get emotions out, to get stuff out, to do that. And I think psychedelics, they give my work diversity.
Mm-hmm.
work, but I think it helps me open up with my art and put more of myself on the page and put what I'm feeling on the page.
Rather than restricting yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, rather than just drawing a portrait and that's it. It's a nice portrait, you know. Just drawing things kind of absent-mindedly.
That's great, we've got all night.
So almost in a meditative state, drawing or sketching or whatever. Like the one that I done the other night, I just kind of sat and just did random kind of things, random shapes, random lettering and stuff like that, and that was because I was on ecstasy.
See, I have noticed between your general like self appreciation of your work and of like yourself's own, like your own ability, and obviously over time, like just looking around, obviously we're sitting in your living room right now, all your artwork that you've got hung up, majority of it's yours, and you can see the progression, you can see the level of confidence increase, the level of ability increase, and it's really great to see. I love looking around and looking through people's work and seeing just how far they've come, you know, just how much they've increased. And whenever you sit down and have a trippy night and you send me the messages in the morning, like the all the photos and shit, they look great. Especially like, see, you know, like the geometric wheel one. That one is just like layer upon layer upon layer, a hundreds of different shit.
Yeah.
It's like multiple facets of different levels of topics and et cetera, et cetera. You know, like there's so many different influences. I think people really do, like psychedelia does open a whole level, a whole different level within people that they don't even realise is there.
It basically kind of, it's almost like it gives you, it's like confidence, almost. I can't really think of a word for it. It's like confidence. It brings out something that, it brings out that ability to express yourself on paper. It gives you the ability to let yourself peek out a wee bit and actually go onto the paper. You know,
it's almost like learning how to momentarily not give a fuck.
Yeah, and to just be completely authentic when you do it. You know, that's why you won't find me rubbing a lot of stuff out. I'll leave a lot of stuff, even if I don't like it, I'll leave a lot of stuff on my pet sketch pages because it's original and it'll never be drawn like that again. So I like to just do random doodle pages, especially if I'm tripping. It's very, very therapeutic.
Yeah, so it's a good way to get things out, to like move the energy around and stuff like that. I find I play guitar a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the time it's just loops, you know what I mean? Like it's maybe three or four different lines or something, just something that I can roll back and forth on three fingers, two or three strings or something, just something to do with it. Like I find myself pacing a lot when I don't do anything by choice. If I try and just sit when I'm at like sort of the takeoff level of psychedelia, I just can't do it.
No, I get that. It does actually push you. It does push you. You know, it's weird because now we're talking about it and I can see my paints and I can see my easel and that, and I'm like, oof, getting amongst that, you know.
A wee bit of painting.
Wee bit of painting, aye.
So, in a whole, psychedelia, how would you round it off? As a fellow enthusiast.
I would say, you know, if you're wanting to do something that's psychedelic, if you're wanting to, say for example, you really want to try magic mushrooms, you want to have a mushroom tea, you want to trip on that, just do a wee bit of research, look into it, listen to other people that have taken it, and don't be a dick about your dose, you know? Also, things to kind of keep in mind is there are dangers. You need to consider the psychological effects of certain drugs, so you need to really make sure you're stable minded before trying things like acid or Five stars, highly recommend.
Five stars, highly recommend. Aye. Building on what you were saying though, always having a trip setter, trip killers, stuff like that, like understanding that being the sober one at the trip party is not a bad thing. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people, especially in today's modern society, in today's Western society especially, a lot of people tend to put the brand of weakness to those sorts of things, those sorts of things. Like, there is absolutely no weakness in having a trusted friend or family member or whatever the case may be there with you, like, to sit with you through any sort of tough times that might come up, you know? Like, you might just trip fucking balls and giggle and laugh at all the spiraling pretty colours for a couple hours and then finally mellow out to actually be able to speak, like, and be understood by your trip sitter. But at least they were there. You know, I think understanding that being the sober mind or having those sort of safety nets, so to speak,
I think that
is
important. Yeah, like, to have someone there is a big comfort. I mean, I neglected to kind of mention that, I think, because I'm so used to doing them by myself.
I was the same. I spent so long doing them until that night that I actually had to call you.
Yeah. I was obviously happy to help, and I would expect the same for you.
Oh, yeah, of course,
like,
of course.
I know you would do the same for me if I was to have a bad trip, but it is good to have that safety net there, and to have someone that, even if you can just phone, even if it's just someone that you can phone,
aye, we phone
and
call
talk
help.
To, because having that sober mind can really help clarify things and put your mind at ease if you're having a wee, you know, anxiety attack about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing to do is to stay calm, make sure you're in a good mood, and don't do it when you're angry or anything like that. Don't do it when you're in a bad mood. Don't do it when you're feeling depressed. That's not going to make things worse. But yeah.
Sound advice.
Five stars.
Five stars. Get Lucy on TripAdvisor. Like, I tried the DMT. It was spectacular.
Met God.
I met God. She was amazing. Hey, that reminds me though, like, at the time that I met Gaia.
Mm.
Like, she that was an interesting trip. I was on mushrooms, Liberty Caps, local picked. So like, it was a whole moment, a whole night of it. And I remember at one point I thought I was able to walk, I was able to get drinks, I was able to eat, I was able to move around, like, speak and be understood. Like, I was like, I've got this trip, this shit is down with me, I'm down with it. And then I kind of just fell over, like, just straight up ended up on my hands and knees, and I closed my eyes to just focus on breathing, because I really thought I was going to fall through the floor into my downstairs neighbor's house. Yeah, I thought I was just going to be like, bang, on their sofa.
That shit happens all the time.
I don't, naturally, I mean, you've got to watch out for those things.
I'm always expecting my French neighbor to come through, and he's tough.
Like a bowl full of garlic, smashing it.
Yeah.
And I'm there on my hands and knees with my eyes closed, just trying to, like, focus on him breathing and not dying. And this face just made up of, like, moss and tree bark and foliage.
Yeah, I've seen the sketch you've done already.
Yeah. I still need to finish that and get it up on my Instagram page. But it was just, she was beautiful, and she was just, like, calm. And she just kind of smirked at me, like, yeah, I did that. You're not in control here. I am. I'm like, aight, okay. You win. I surrender. Like, I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
It's like, I get warnings a lot.
Yeah.
I get warnings a lot, and I really have found that, A, being open to what the psychedelia of your choice is decided to show you, and also being open to how they've decided to show you, you know, and then being thankful, because that beautiful, like, feminine energy, like, with all the trees and the mushrooms and the moss and, like, the things that are comforting to me, you know, like, if I just woke up in the woods, I'd be totally fucking fine, I'd be happy, you know, like, as long as my dog's fed and the cat's fed, totally chill. Like, that could have been presented in a much more different way, you know. I could have been given that lesson in a much different way, you know. So it's like acknowledging, understanding, and then just being thankful, you know. A lot of people might say that sounds daft. A lot of fellow psychonauts might actually roll their eyes at me saying that, but no, like, fucking be thankful for this shit, because at the end of the day, you took it.
Yeah,
you know, you chose it, and you just need to surrender to it. And part of surrendering is being thankful that they don't fuck you up.
Yeah,
You know, and even in a case that they do fuck you up, kind of try and be thankful for it. It's hard, but yeah. But thanks for coming on. Honestly, it's been
really good.
It's been a really great conversation. I think next time I get your voice on the mic, we should try doing a little pre-recording, and maybe do a little DMT trip or something.
Yeah, that'd be totally up for that. That sounds good.
See what sort of bollocks comes out.
Yeah.
It'll be 30 solid minutes of silence and death smells like cookies. Which, by the way, death does smell like cookies.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Yeah, thanks again.
No bother.
I'll get you on next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the psychedelic... That. We'll start that again, folks. You've been listening to the Psychonautic Psychedelic Podcast. You can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Overcast, Podcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify. My Instagram is psychonautic, @psychonautic_psychedelic, and most of that's just my art, but some podcast updates will be started going up there. Maggie, I'm pretty sure you have a...
Yeah, mine is Maggie_mugs90. That's on my Instagram.
And that's like your art page and
stuff?
It's
a pretty new page. I've only just started it, you know, within the last few weeks. I think I've only put about 5 pictures up or something so far.
Mm-hmm.
But you
just need to dedicate an afternoon to taking photos of everything that
you
have or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so much work that I could be taking photos of, but I've got this... some reason I feel this guilt for posting anything that I'd done a while ago, and I don't know if all artists feel like this.
Mm.
But if I post something from years ago that I've done, I just feel like I'm being a bit of a fraud.
Oh no,
I don't know why.
You can easily just put it in the bio. I sometimes, whenever I come across a design that's not too shabby from a wee while ago that I hadn't posted, or it's not on like my current page that I use, I'll post that up easy. I'll just put it in the bio that this was something that I'd done from X year or whatever, from X months ago. I wouldn't feel worried about it with that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
But that said, thank you everyone for listening. Drink plenty of water, and thank you for joining us.